all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does God know what your needs are? He knows what your physical needs are. He knows you need to eat. He knows you need to be taken care of. He can take care of it. Why? Because his whole earth he's been taken care of for a long time. Turn to Psalm. Psalm 147 once again. Psalm 147, verse 8, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains, he giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. How does the earth keep, how do we constantly have grass grow, plants grow, the animals are constantly living? Well, that's just an accident that figured out after a long series of experiments and failures. No, it was God set it up that order. Why do you think everything works so perfectly? Because God is in control of it. Turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, sorry, chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and the day and night shall not cease. You know how easy God made it for us to live on this life so we don't have to care about our food? You know, yes, farmers, you still have to go out there and put, I've never farmed, I know it's a hard job. You know how much harder it would be if we didn't know that there was four seasons that go the exact same way all the time? Spring, they come up, fall, they die. Winter, they get frozen. Spring, they come back up. In summer, they do something else then. Like I said, not a farmer. I know the basic process of it. But you see, how do they know that that's going to happen? Because God set it up. It's going to be that order. You know, how do you know that you need water? Because God made it. You need light and water for things to grow. Well, guess what? He made the water cycle. It rains. It evaporates. It makes clouds. It rains. How does all that happen? Because God set it up so you can look to him and see, where did all this come from? From God. You know, we read it in Amos chapter 8, seek him that madeth all these things. God knows what you need to take care of. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We put so much focus of our life into how do I get this? How do I get taken care of? How do I, you know, live my life? How do I provide everything? Understand, all you got to do is just look to Jesus and he'll take care of those things for you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for me, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for me. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Turn to Acts chapter 10. We just read, he put the plants there for us to eat. Sin, yes, sin affected them, and some of them, you know, they'll kill you if you eat. But there's a lot of food out there. You just go pick on the ground. It's called rabbit food, but it's still good for you. Acts chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Understand, how much food did God give us in this earth? He literally gave us everything from the grass to the animals. You can have it, eat whatever you want. Why? Because God does not want you caring about your food. Understand, if God needs to, he will make food appear for you. He made manna fall from heaven for Israel. He gave them quails to eat. Why does all that matter? Because we put so much focus in how do I get and live my life. Understand, God knows what you need. He'll provide what you need for him. You just do what he wants you to do. Yes, you're going to have to work for it. Yes, you put in some effort. But understand, how do I get anything in my life that I have? It's because God saw fit to give it to me. Brother Ryan, you've killed a lot of animals. Without God, do you think you're going to see any animals out there? Not a chance. There's a lot of people who do a lot more hunting than him and never get an animal. Now, I'm not saying that he's got some special deal with God that gives him animals, but understand, Everything that you eat, from the food to the food in your stomach to the water, everything is because God blessed you enough to have it. Anybody have those moments where you sit down and I have no idea how this life is, how it's going to work out, how I'm going to pay my bills and feed my family, but I know I just trust God and it always works out. And you sit there and think, the more that I give to God, the more he blesses me. Anybody just not have any idea why God blessed them that much? I'll tell you personal experience. I have no idea why God has blessed me with the job that I have and the ability to. I have no idea, but I know that God gave it to me. And as long as I keep giving it to him, I'll be okay. Amen. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Jump down to verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Understand, if you live your life for God, God will take care of you. It might not make sense. Understand, it does not make sense to me how this earth came about. It does not make sense how everything works so perfectly, how that if we were to move one millimeter or centimeter to the left or right, the earth would blow up basically. I don't know why it works out that way. I know that God set it up in that order. All I have to do is just trust him that he knows what he's doing. If he created the heaven and the earth, he can take care of you. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 once again. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching for his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 28, once again. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. God is never going to get tired. God is not going to run out of energy. You can't get to the point where God just can't handle it anymore. You want to know why? Because he can handle anything. He's handled everything in this life. You don't have to handle it by yourself. He created all these things to remind you, I can be with you. I can help you. Look at the earth and see Jesus Christ. Look at the earth and see who he is. Turn to Genesis chapter 10. Nope, Genesis chapter 9. Start in verse 10. And with every living creature that is with you, with the fowl, the cattle, the beast of the earth, and the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud that it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you. And every living creature of all flesh and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. Those rainbows that we have in the sky, I don't understand why there's a perfect rainbow every time. But I understand that God set it up that way for us to be reminded of the covenant that he has. When you see that rainbow in the sky, don't think of anything disgusting in this earth. Think of God made that promise, and that has stayed there that whole time. Every time there's rain and sun, there's going to be a rainbow. Why? Because God set it up as a promise to remember us and him of that promise he made with Noah that day. There is an explanation for everything in this earth, and every explanation will tie back to God in some way or some form, except for sin, because God will not have any dealings with sin. Understand, if things are evil in this world, it's not because of God, it's because of sin. But what is all sin? It's a corruption of what God has blessed us with. Right. Understand, God gave us everything in this earth to see him. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Understand, you look and you will find God in every part of the world, every part of the earth. You will find God if you really look for him. You look for him, you search for him as with hid treasure. You search for him your whole heart. What does God do? He will show you who he is. Amen. Well, there's those African countries, they've never had the word of God. They have the sun and the moon and the stars. They have the sky that God set up to be in order to point to him. You can't honestly, in full honesty, look in this earth and see everything that is wonderful and set up by God and think that it came from anywhere else but God. You can't honestly believe that, because there is no doubting who God is. I believe that God's word is true. And when he says the heavens declare the glory of his handiwork and the declare the glory of God and the earth showeth his handiwork, whatever it is, understand, he set that up in the perfect order. And when it says he declares it, understand, it's going to show you who God is if you just look for him. How do you think all those people who had no idea who God is in Egypt saw God? Because of the works of his hands. How do you think all these people who come out of nowhere and think, I don't know why, but I'm going to go to church today? Well, it's because God put something in their heart to get them to start thinking about it, and they show up in church. Why do you think you started coming to church in the first place? Well, my mom made me go. Yeah, you know what? Your parents did probably make you go. There comes a point where you stopped going because they were forcing you, and you started showing up because you wanted to, because you saw something. Why do you think that is? Because God wants to know who you are. You know, we're not going to read it, but Genesis 50. Yeah, we're just go read it. Genesis 50. I can't skip a scripture. I'm trying not. Yeah. Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as is this day, to save much people alive. Understand, you might have a rough life. I don't know what happened in your life. What I know is your life eventually led you to a place in his New Testament church this morning where you can hear the word of God, where you can sit there and have the word of God presented to you, and you can have it in your lap and read it for yourself. I don't know why you got brought here. I don't know what happened in your life transpired, but I know God can work it out for good because I've seen it happen. You read Joseph's life. Joseph had a terrible life. Everything bad could have happened went bad. His own brothers tried to kill him. God worked it out for good. Look in your life. Where would you be without God? Well, I would have made it. I would have been okay. No, you wouldn't have. And you might think, yeah, I'll have a good life eventually. Understand, you cannot have a good life without God. Amen. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 10, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, that ye might have it more abundantly. Understand, without Jesus Christ, you don't even have life in your life. Life in your life. You don't have life. Yeah. You have death and sorrow and sadness. Right. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have life. So you can't think, well, I'll have the good life. I'll make it. I'll be okay. No, you don't have life until you know Jesus Christ. Yeah. And after that, you'll see, no, this is what true living is. That joy that we talk about when you get saved, that overwhelming joy, that excitement, that is you knowing what true life is for the first time in your life. Yeah. Understand, that joy never has to go away. We sit there and think, whoa, I'm so miserable all the time. Well, when was the last time you just sat there and thought about the moment that Jesus Christ saved your soul? We talk about losing the joy of our salvation. There should never be a time where we lose the joy of our salvation, because every moment of every day should be thinking about, reminded of that moment that Jesus Christ saved my soul when he died on the cross for me. Turn to Matthew 27. Going back to this creation declaring God, I love these verses. Matthew 27. Verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. What made that centurion, those people see it? They saw the earthquake and how the earth mourned for Jesus Christ dying, and they knew that was the Son of God. That was not some mere man. This earth cried out when Jesus Christ died. Amen. That's how important it was to him. Understand, the earth mourned and Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You sit there and you look. Well, you look at creation. Go back to that. What does that show? It shows that there was life, sin entered, it died, and God gave it life again. Oh, wow. I wonder, that must have just been some coincidence that it worked out that way. Well, how about the seasons? They have life, they die, they're given sunshine, the light from God, and they live again. That's a bunch of crazy accidents. No, it's because God set it up to show the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's because God set up everything for you to see who God is. Because what is his desire? For all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God literally did everything from the littlest things in this earth to the biggest universes out there to point us to him. How awesome is God? How amazing is God that he wants you to have him for that long? Turn to Matthew 11. Understand, lost friend, Jesus Christ died for you. He put everything in this earth to point to you, to point you to him, because he wants you. Saved child of God, God wants you to serve him. He put everything in this life. He knows what you need in your life. You don't have to focus on this life. Get your focus off life. Get it to God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ is crying out to all of us, every single man, woman, and child on this earth. Come unto me. You know, whether you're downtrodden, when you're exhausted, where you don't have any life left in you, where you can't handle it on your own, and say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You want peace in your life, you want joy, you want rest, there's one place to turn, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible talks about the peace that passeth understanding, the God of all comfort. Well, where is he at? He's right here in the Bible. He's right here in this room, and he is everywhere in this creation pointing directly to him. Who's it without excuse? Nobody. What should we do? Seek God the Creator. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Understand, Jesus Christ is crying out to you today. He put it in every single form, every single place you look on this earth. He is crying out to you today to come unto him because he wants to save your soul. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Well, why did he do that? Just because he felt bad for us? No, it's because he loves you. It's no other reason but Jesus Christ loves you. Because you know what? I think about this often. You know, Jesus Christ could have just destroyed this earth any number of times he wanted to. When Adam and Eve sinned, he could have destroyed the earth and said, I'm going to start over. When Noah sinned, he could have said, nope, Noah, you don't get grace at all. I'm going to destroy the earth and start over. When I sinned the first time in my life, when I knowingly rejected God, he could have said, nope, I'm done with you. But you look at what brought Noah and his family through that. Was Noah a perfect man? No, he was a sinner. But was it the grace of God? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God is what gave Noah peace through that. Right. What gives me life on this earth? For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the unmerited gift of God to be saved. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in the heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. I love verse 20. Making peace through his blood of his cross, that the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. That is Jesus Christ and God's desire, to take the sinner that you are and to change you forever to something that is unblameable, unreprovable, holy in his sight. And what did he do? Well, he just died. No, he put everything from the beginning of creation. When he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything in this earth, in this sky, in this everything was to point to him. He gave you the food and the ground, the animals, the grass. He gave you everything to take care of your basic needs so that you don't have to worry about those. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Understand, you seek God, he'll take care of you. He'll provide those needs. And we see he'll bless abundantly above all that we ask or think. Anybody in here not seeing the blessings of God go way beyond even your wildest imaginations? Look at this building that we're in right now. It is a blessing of God that we have it. It makes no sense that a small church in Springfield could purchase and build this building the way it has. It makes no sense that there should be a church in Springfield, Oregon in the year 2026. No sense whatsoever. But Jesus Christ saw fit for it to happen. Why? So that in everything, you could be here today to hear about who Jesus Christ is. Amen. So that if you are lost or saved, you can look in his word and see that God set up everything he possibly can to point you to him, because his desire is he wants you to be with him today. The question is, are you going to take everything that God did, all those works, that amazingness, and just say, it's not that big of a deal? Throw it to the side and think, it's not that big of a deal. No, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He put everything, he's ordained the stars in the sky. He knows them all by name. He put them in exact places that they need to. He gave you everything in this earth to point you to him. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we? We are nothing but dust. But Jesus Christ, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards us. toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, to them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Understand, his mercy towards you is what brought you here today. His mercy towards you is that he knows that you are dust, that you are something that he formed, that man he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that man became a living soul. He knows that you are a living soul in the dust of the earth that he formed you in, that has rejected him and said, I don't want you. And yet he still died on the cross to bring you to him. When he was rejected, he still died on the cross for your sins. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But he died, why? Because of his mercy, his grace, and his undying love for you. He put everything in this earth for us to understand who we are, to understand who God is, that we are well below him. We are nothing but grasshoppers, and even that's pretty generous to compare to God. We are nothing to him, and yet, in all those things, you look at everything, he pointed to him so you can seek him. Turn to Amos chapter 5. Let's all stand. Amos chapter 5, verse 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, that poureth them upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Understand. There is one Savior, there is one God, the Lord is his name, and he is crying out to you right now to come find him. What number shall we sing?
Hymn 403.
Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely. Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you,
he will save you,
he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood.
Look to the Lord in word of dismissal prayer. As we do, Brother Austin, please lead us in a prayer.
witnesses to those around about us in this community, that many would be drawn and lost souls would be saved and represented to your work.